It is hour number three of Midday with Trey and BK coming up this hour. There's no telling. We'll probably do some Shooting the Bull at 12:30. We'll probably have Tinder time at some point. But considering some of the random kick-ass people that have walked up to this booth here at Big 12 Media Days, I'm not even going to try and guess. Oh, am I on the wrong headset right now? Hold on one sec.
What are you doing here?
You're putting on my headset.
Now it's got a little bit on it. That felt a little bit louder. Yes,
I can feel the kale coming from the earmuffs here.
Get ready for a pretty nasty stomach virus over the next couple of days.
Oh, man. Just got the chance to talk to Jalen McCleskey, the star wide receiver at Oklahoma State. They're excited about this year, But the most important thing that I asked Jalen, we talked a little Fortnite, of course. That's the one thing about.
You didn't ask about Eskimo Joe's, did you?
Did not. I'll save that for a little bit later in the afternoon when there's less people around. And Coach Mike Gundy still has the mullet.
Oh, thank goodness!
That has been confirmed. For some reason, I haven't seen him.
And
I've seen the coach.
He is glorious.
Still glorious. Still looking good. I haven't seen Mike Gundy today. I've seen every other coach and every other player here on day two of Big 12 Media Days. Still waiting to see the Gundy mullet in full effect.
I feel like that's the Samson and Delilah bit, right? Like if Mike Gundy ever cuts that mullet, it means that his time at Oklahoma State has come to an end. Like
Samson
he loses all of his Oklahoma State strength. Yeah, Samson. You know, from the Bible.
Ralph Samson.
No, not Ralph Samson.
Kelvin Samson.
Not Kelvin Sampson. Any more Sampsons for me?
O.J. Sampson.
O.J. Sampson.
I'm out of guesses. You're bringing the Bible?
Yeah.
What testament?
First, I think Samson and Delilah was Old Testament.
Oh, that's one I should know. That's on me.
Is it? Oh,
is that the
Jewish half of the Bible?
Yeah, Team Old Testament.
Okay. All right, then. We are live from Big 12 Media Days, though. Thank you very much to our sponsors, Reliable Automotive, sponsoring this entire thing, and also Audiovisual Consultations and Lone Oak Motors, specifically sponsoring the Midday Show. Thank you to everybody who has chipped in for this. This has been a fantastic trip so far. We've had an opportunity to speak with Chris Del Conte today. We also spoke with Tom Herman just a couple minutes ago. The guests are numerous over these last couple of days, and we are very appreciative to everybody who helped make that happen.
Trey, we only got a few minutes with Coach Tom Herman, but I asked him about the develop and finish mantra, and we talked about that a little bit in our last hour, and I gave most of my thoughts. Didn't quite get time to hear what you had to say. So your take on sort of that two-step program, if you will, that this coaching staff, and I love how Tom Herman's putting some of the onus on himself, right? He knows that there's improvement that he has to do in year two. The coaching staff in general, as a group, has to do better in year two. And also, of course, the players themselves have to improve in the second year of this administration. So that develop and finish, is that a good mindset for this Texas team to have this offseason?
Absolutely, and may sound a little self-help, but people who reach the greatest heights in terms of success look in the mirror and see what they need to change about themselves in order to keep going forward, especially in leadership positions, which is what Tom Herman is in right now. So to hear him talk about some of the things that him and his coaching staff needed to do differently, as well as the players, that all sounds great. And I think the finish is a big deal as well. We've talked numerous times on today's show about how close Texas was in games where it kind of felt like they blew those games in the end. It feels like this is a year where if Texas is in those close types of contests, they're actually going to finish those games off this year.
And, you know, Texas has more of the experience than a lot of other teams in the Big 12.
Yes.
I mean, last year, you look at the games we mentioned, right? Oklahoma, senior quarterback, Baker Mayfield. He knows what to do in the final minutes. Oklahoma State, Mason Rudolph, senior quarterback. He knows what to do in late game situations. Nick Chmielewski, Texas Tech, senior quarterback. Same thing. Sam Darnold, top three pick in the NFL draft, experienced quarterback. Those dudes all had more experience than Texas at every position, but especially at the quarterback spot. This year, that's different. We've been talking about it all week. We've been talking about it for months here on this station. No one's really sure who the quarterbacks are in this conference. You know, Will Greer's the guy at West Virginia.
Yep.
You know, Kyle Kemp is the guy at Iowa State. Charlie Brewer at Baylor. But outside of that, I mean, every other quarterback battle is kind of up for grabs right now. Even TCU, who brought Sean Robinson here, they are still acting like there's some sort of quarterback battle. So now Texas, and I heard this stat on the morning show yesterday, the combination of Sam Ellinger and Shane Buechele, they have more combined starts than any other quarterback room in this conference.
Interesting.
So if there are close games, which it's football, it's inevitable, they're going to be close games for this team, now you have the experience in games and in terms of years where guys know what to do, or at least should know what to do in crucial situations down the stretch. What happened last year obviously stunk, losing all of those games. I guess the one against Kansas State is the exception, but losing those four heartbreakers really sucked. But you can use those as learning tools for this year, and there's no better learning than experience itself, being in that actual situation like Texas was a year ago. That should only bode well for this team moving forward.
It feels like the unofficial motto of this year's Big 12 Media Day should be, and it's not really a motto as much as it is an ideal. We are not going to name a starter at quarterback, even though we all pretty much know who the starter at quarterback is. Talk about Charlie Brewer, yep. Baylor, Sam Ehlinger with Texas. It's going to be a shock if it's Shane Buechele starting game one for the Longhorns this year. Same thing goes for Kyler Murray with Oklahoma as well. But you're making a great point about that, BK, and that's why I feel like Texas has a really good chance to win at least 9 games this year, because some of those teams that I think are going to be better second-half teams still have a lot of question marks in terms of the skill positions, especially at quarterback, and Texas plays a lot of those teams in the first half of the season.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And it's a front-loaded schedule for Texas football. We've talked about it. So they will be tested early, but a great opportunity for this team to get off to a great start. They've got to have an easier second half. So if they can go 4-2 in the first half of the season, hey, maybe even 3-3, they've got a chance to win their last 5 contests, some games at home, and they're playing some of the weaker teams in the Big 12. So we'll learn a lot about this Texas team's mettle very early on.
Okay, I feel like we're at a little bit of a lull right now, so we should finally do what we've been promising for several segments now, and that is hit Tinder time. Are you okay
time.
With that?
Yes.
Okay.
We got to get Wags involved back in the studio. Wags, let's fire it up, man. Oh, is Wags even in there? Is he even ready to go? He's so upset. He's taking a knee during Tinder time. He has boycotted his own segment because we had to move it back because of a couple of guests that we've had.
It would have made perfect sense. However, he is there back in the studio. It is Tinder time, and it is sponsored,
it
BK.
It is. Tinder time brought to you by Altstadt Brewery. Altstadt Beer. Looking forward to going home this afternoon and cracking open an Altstadt. My fridge is stocked with it in Central Texas. Yours should be, too. It's the best beer you can find in the 512. It's hot as heck. I know it is down there as well. You need a great beer that will cool you down all summer long, and that is Altstadt Beer. No impurities, no regrets.
Wags, what is today's first headline?
Well, I swear to God, there won't be anything with Manny Machado in it, I promise.
Hey, there we go.
National selling $1 tickets now after Harper's 45 home run derby. 45 homers in the derby.
They're selling $1 tickets for, like, future games or for the All-Star game?
For future games, man.
Wow, that's a pretty good deal. Swipe right.
I'm in.
Right on. It was a promotion done before the All-Star game actually went into place. So, and it is, it's not, now granted, you got to take the headlines a little misleading. There are sections in the ballpark at
of
that are selling for $1 now because of
the worst seats in the stadium, right?
Exactly. So they were deducting $1 off their ticket for each home run that Bryce Harper hit during the home run derby.
Oh.
And the guy knocked out 45 last night. And
that's really cool.
Right. So there's now $45 off of each, off of all tickets that are at, you know, National Stadium, obviously. But it also allows you to get a ticket purchased for $1. Pretty cool.
Now I got to look out for Coach Herman, right? Because we talked 2 minutes of baseball and it happened to be right when Coach Herman's walking out.
He's kind of hammered us right there.
Really? You guys are talking baseball at Big 12 Football Media Days? Come on, man. The Home Run Derby was very entertaining last night, man. It's always cool to see the hometown kid win the award, win the trophy. Bryce Harper put on a show last night, especially in that final round. It was looking kind of bleak. I think he was down by 8 home runs with about a minute left. And sure enough, he goes 9 bombs in a row. Every time he swung, the ball was leaving the yard. 9 homers in 47 seconds. The fans were into it. It was great. I was actually on the edge of my seat. I was even standing up at my buddy's house watching the end of the Home Run Derby last night. Highly, highly entertaining, high drama. I think it was a good night for Major League Baseball. And good for the Nats for making a promotion to reward the fans for supporting the
How smoked team. Do you think he was while hitting those 9 home runs in 47 seconds?
How about the...
How what?
How smoked do you think? Like, he exhausted.
Oh, exhausted. Yeah.
Smoked, yeah.
Got to have been tired.
Took
yeah.
a smoke break during the timeout.
I was like, is he high or something? Like, what are you talking about here?
How about the his post-derby interview? He said, nice job. Did you see that? He just, like, yelled to the fans, nice job. It was
okay.
Like, oh, you're a nerd, man. What are you – they hopped up on something right there.
So they do the celebrity softball game as part of the Monday night bit. They do the home run derby, of course. What about adding – and I saw somebody propose this. I think it was maybe The Athletic that proposed this. What about some sort of – defensive skills challenge where they test out infielders, catchers, and also outfielders for their defensive acumen.
I'm down. Wags and I talked about that a little bit last week. The defense, The pitching, the base running. I mean, baseball is a five-tool game.
Yeah.
Right? We talk about five-tool players. Those are the elite players in Major League Baseball. Well, you're only putting on one display, and that's for home run hitting. You're not giving anything for the fielding, for the running, for the pitching aspect. I would love something like that to be incorporated. Of course, you'll have people say, well, guys can get injured doing that. If a pitcher's trying to throw a baseball as hard as he can, he could get injured. It's the same thing with the Derby. Dudes take BP. They take, what, 6 to 10 swings at a time, maybe a couple of rounds before each game. They're not used to hitting 45 dingers in 10 minutes like Bryce Harper did last night.
What about clocking the inside the park home run for each of these
guys?
Just
around the bases.
Yeah.
Right? Who's the fastest around the bases? Maybe get put a bunch of outfielders at the warning track and see how accurate they can be throwing to the plate. Something along those lines.
Yep.
Baseball does a terrible job of marketing. I mean, if you're a seamhead like I am, like we have some people at the Horn, you know, if you're a seamhead, you're going to watch and you're going to be intrigued by what happens at the All-Star game and the All-Star week. But for the casual sports fan, you need a little bit more than just a home run derby.
Absolutely.
There's plenty of other things Major League Baseball can and should do, should incorporate to make this more of a marquee event.
Wags, hit us with another headline, please.
Larry Fitzgerald, if I'm not playing in Arizona, I won't be playing anywhere.
Love to swipe right.
Swipe right.
That's right.
He's the Dirk of the NFL.
Exactly. In an age almost where it seems like everybody's like water and taking the path of least resistance, Larry Fitzgerald says, if I'm not playing for any other team, or if I'm not playing for Arizona, I'm not playing for any other team. It doesn't matter if he's going to hoist the Lombardi Trophy or not. It looks like he's there to stay, man, and to help Josh Rosen get better. Your thoughts on this, guys?
Larry Fitzgerald, one of the truly good guys in sports,
yep.
And I love the fact that he is that committed to one franchise as well. You mentioned Dirk Nowitzki. They come along from time to time where they seem to be awesome individuals on and off the field, and Larry Fitzgerald exemplifies that. So it's really cool for Cardinals fans to hear that they're not going to have to watch Larry Fitzgerald suit up for another franchise.
It's just weird, right? I think at the end of the Emmitt Smith days, speaking of the Cardinals, like watching him play in an Arizona jersey just made no sense.
Dude, I'm not even a Cowboys fan, and that made me cringe.
And watching Mike Modano in a Detroit Red Wings jersey at the end of the career. It's just like, that stuff shouldn't happen.
That was painful.
And you love hearing that Fitz is going to take a hometown discount, perhaps, to stay with Arizona. Obviously, it's a team that's in rebuild mode with a new quarterback and Josh Rosen.
Yep.
They've got a new head coach coming in. A phrase that's thrown around way too often nowadays that should only be reserved for a select few number of people. Consummate pro. And that's exactly what Larry Fitzgerald is, man.
Yep.
He is a great representative for the NFL, both on and off the field. Hell, even during timeouts, he goes, uses his Visa card to go pick up some snacks at the grocery store. He's a jack of all trades, one of the best receivers of all time, a first ballot Hall of Famer. And it's great that he's going to start and finish his career with the Arizona Cardinals. And what, last year, Trey, you're pulling up the numbers right now.
Yeah, he had over 100 receptions,
as a
man.
34-year-old. Yeah, over 100 catches. The dude, the test of time, father time, hasn't really taken its toll on Larry Fitzgerald yet. He's still a fun player to watch, still an elite weapon, and I hope him and Josh Rosen can develop some sort of chemistry.
And that's with a quarterback. Sorry to cut in and Trey, but that's with a quarterback debacle too. I mean, there's now you actually
point.
Have
yeah.
Josh Rosen coming. You know, you might have somewhat of an established position there.
Yeah, and Fitzgerald also, his stats from a few years ago, he had a three-year stretch where it looked like he was on the decline. This was after his 1,400 receiving yards, where he went down into triple digits in terms of receiving yards, and also the receptions dropped pretty significantly as well. A lot of people thought his career was over with, but in 2015 he turned it back on, and there's been no looking back from there.
I'd love to hear that from Larry Fitzgerald. All right, Wags, you got one more for us today, sir.
Yes, sir. Verlander wants DH abolished to create even playing field.
Okay, Justin, swipe right on this one.
Uh-oh,
first
you
off.
Got something here. I'm swiping right. I want to hear Trace.
Yeah,
take on
yeah.
This
go.
One.
I mean, he alludes to saying that he just wants to have a fairer field to play on. He noticed that the Dodgers had a little bit of an advantage when they would go out west to play, and from a pitcher standpoint, he just wants to make it an even playing field. But yeah, Trey, without further ado, go ahead, brother.
Yes, if you're evening up that playing field, you're going the other direction on that, Justin Verlander. We're not having more terrible hitters at bat. We're getting more better hitters at bat. You just talked about how MLB has a PR issue. You don't correct that issue by getting more terrible batters to the plate. You get better hitters in the NL. You take away the pitcher. Yeah, it takes away some of the strategy of baseball, the double moves, things like that in the National League. But oh well, if you're going to go uniform with that rule, you go DH throughout all of baseball.
You know, I'm supposed to have hot takes, and I feel like I'm a man of many hot takes. I'm getting ripped by the entire city of Lawrence, Kansas for a hot take I had about their football helmet yesterday.
Still going on?
Still going on. My buddies in Lawrence texting me right now, and he's like, people are talking about you up here on the radio.
Who's the dude that commented about your handwriting?
Someone commented about my handwriting?
Yeah, he said like you write like a toddler or something. I was like,
I can't really deny that. I got chicken scratch when it comes to handwriting. Look, I don't know. I like the way baseball is right now. I'm known as being a purist, and I won't deny that. But I like how in one league, the AL, you have the DH, and I like how in the National League, you have the pitcher's bat. Now, I've always been a fan of an American League team, right? The Texas Rangers, so I've gotten used to seeing what baseball is like from the AL perspective with the designated hitter. But I also enjoy the occasional Madison Bumgarner home run. And I enjoy that there's a lot more strategy that's involved with being a manager in the National League. We talked to Davey Johnson. Right, longtime skipper a couple of weeks ago, a guy who managed in both the AL and NL, and he's like, man, managing in the AL is a walk in the park. It's easy. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to think. There's no strategy that goes involved with being a skipper in the American League. So I like that there's different rules. Now that baseball has interleague play every day throughout the course of the season, managers get tested, and you get a little bit of that World Series-style feel when it comes to managing in the opposite league. So I'm on board with keeping it the way that it is, man. I don't want a uniform change, but I do agree with you, Trey. If there is a uniform change, it's got to be the DH in both leagues, man. We can't have these 091 hitters coming up the bat in crucial situations. That's just bad for the game right there. You know, we're trying to see more runs, more points, whatever, in all of sports. Pitchers batting is not going to help that.
Ultimately, I'm with you, too. It's not the end of the world for me one way or the other. Like, I will continue watching AL and NL baseball regardless of this rule. But, yes, if you make the change, you make the change for the better, not for the worse, for the sake of the viewing audience.
With you 100%. All right, good stuff, Wags. There is Tinder Time brought to you by Altstadt Brewery. We are going to take a break coming up next. I think we're shooting the bull. We'll have some more conversation, though. We'll continue to break down what's happening here at Big 12 Media Days up at the Star in Frisco. The old ball coach, Bill Snyder, just finished his press conference up on stage. And next will be Oklahoma State head football coach Mike Gundy. Some legit contenders here at Day 2 at the Big 12 Media Days. Of course, it is Texas Day. If you missed Tom Herman's press conference, we have that podcasted at our website, hornfm.com, from earlier today. And we also had a conversation with Tom Herman as well, so be sure to check that out at the conclusion of our show. More great coverage here from Day 2, the final day, Big 12 Media Days up in Frisco. You're listening to the Midday Show right here on the Horn.
Back here on Midday with Trey and BK, live from Big 12 Media Days. Thanks again to all of our sponsors helping not just the Horn, Reliable Automotive, but also specifically the Midday Show. Get up here to the DFW Metroplex. That includes audio, visual consultations, and Lone Oak Motors, BK.
Yeah, absolutely. We talk about AV consultations all the time, but want to give them some love. Look, we're at Big 12 Media Days. We're getting ready for college football. You need to get ready for college football with the Ultimate TV setup. I've got the Ultimate Man Cave with the four TVs in my room. Trey's got the surround sound with his big screen in the living room. Whatever your project, man, however many TVs you want, whatever you want done technology-wise, audio-video-wise, even surveillance to keep you and your loved ones safe, AV Consultations can take care of that. Give them a call, 255-8678. And got to give some love to Lone Oak Motors, man. Bart and Bruce down there in Dripping Springs. They are locally owned and operated, Austin's premier used car dealer. Hassle-free. They've been in business for more than 10 years. They absolutely get the job done. So Lone Oak Motors, definitely check them out as well. We're grateful for their continued support of the Midday Show. And we're happy to be up here, man. Great vibes, great atmosphere here all week long at Big 12 Media Days.
We're also happy to welcome another guest, the revolving door of people dropping by the table today, and that is Alex Loeb, former Horn employee, current employee of the Longhorn Network. Alex, what's up, man?
How you guys doing? I have a question for you right off the bat. What is the statute of limitations on replying to an email? Just before I get to the point of this, how long is too long?
I'm letting you answer this, Dre, because I know where Alex is going with this.
I think the email is somewhat dependent, but I would say, like, generally speaking, if you go more than a month, the email is probably done for.
I was going through my email the other day, and I stumbled upon an email Mr. Kellner had sent to me 4 years ago when I was at the Horn. 4 years later, I finally got back to him, and I was so proud of it, too.
Wait, you got back to him. You were previously in the midday slot, and you got back to him when he was actually occupying the same midday slot?
Yes. Okay. It was addressed to Mr. Loeb. He was interested in being an intern. Look how far he's come already. And so 4 years later, I finally got back to him with some feedback, so I feel pretty proud.
Well, what was the feedback?
Of course, you guys are doing a great job. He's doing a great job.
No, you can't intern for us.
Yeah, and no, there are no openings. Goodbye. I'll talk to you in another 4 years. I'm on Hotmail, so I'm a little slow adapting to change and responding to things. So, but you guys are awesome. Brad just, it seems like, out of college yesterday, already co-hosting his own show.
Crushing it.
You guys are doing fantastic.
I appreciate the love.
Thanks, man.
Absolutely.
You're getting it done on
Longboard
Network as well. Yeah. You got a face too pretty for the radio, so you had to move to the TV side.
It's the makeup. Yeah, I still have my makeup on right
so
now.
So for you, Alex, you know, the Texas team, of course, it's Texas Day at Big 12 Media Days. Tom Herman just up there a couple of minutes ago addressing the media, answering some questions. Your thoughts, you know, Tom Herman talked about develop and finish as the two main things that this Texas football program has focused on this offseason. Do you tend to agree with those two words being a focal point for UT?
I think for Texas fans at this point, they would say the focal word is win. Just win.
Whatever it takes.
At this point, just win game. I mean, I remember going years back when they would say, oh, this is the year Tyrone Swoops is looking great in spring camp and at the spring game, and he's going to be there. And, you know, it's all great and everything, but until they take the field during the season, we're not going to know. The best thing going for Texas, one of the best things is almost all the teams they're playing have lost their star starting quarterback. Sam Darnold, Mason Rudolph, Baker Mayfield, mm-hmm. Kenny Hill, Jesse Ertz, even down the line.
Yeah.
I mean, that is really one of the biggest things I'm looking at. As far as what was said today, I don't know if there's anything earth-shattering that was said. It's still Sam and Shane, and still looking to see how the running game is going to get going with Keontae Ingram coming in. The one thing I feel confident in is Malik, Deshaun, Holton, all these guys had career years under Todd Orlando. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of hype surrounding them, but they didn't live up to the potential until Orlando got there. And even though those guys are gone, I feel like with that system, Orlando in place, I think they're going to be okay on that side of the ball.
Agreed on the confidence there. I'm wondering what your confidence is with the offensive line. It seems like depth-wise they're a little bit better. Talent-wise, even though they lost Connor Williams to the NFL drafts, they may actually be a little bit better there as well when you consider that all the guys who played last year are a year older, as well as Calvin Anderson coming in and potentially starting at left tackle. What is your confidence level for this offensive line?
Yeah, Anderson's going to be huge. I mean, Connor's such a huge loss, but it's weird because he's not in a way because he barely played last year. And even when he did, unfortunately for him, the Maryland game graded out as one of the worst of his career. Mm-hmm. And it hurt his stock a little bit. You know, tremendous offensive lineman, but as far as missing him from last year, not going to be huge. We talked to Patrick Vahe about it a while ago. You know, obviously, he didn't seem to panic too much. He seemed fine. I think between Herb Hand coming in, Calvin Anderson, I think they'll be okay there. I don't think that's one of their main concerns.
Okay.
I mean, quarterback in the running game, I think we all know that at this point. I mean, how long is quarterback been a question mark here.
Back to Colt McCoy in 2009.
Yeah, hopefully not many more years either.
I couldn't drive back when quarterback was my
gosh. That's a depressing way to put it.
I still have an email from you from back then as well.
Back then, I'm not sure if email was invented back
right,
then.
Exactly.
When, so, Alex, your thoughts. I mean, you're absolutely right. You know, the win-loss record at the end of the day is going to determine what I guess determines, to reuse that word, a successful season for Tom Herman in year two. Outside of record, though, or maybe including record as well, what in your mind, what will determine a successful second year for Tom Herman and company?
I guess I thought they'd win around like 9 games last year. What, they end up with 7 wins after the bowl game?
Mm-hmm.
If they, you know, is 8 wins in a bowl win enough? Is 9 wins? I think it's going to depend on how they look in those ball games as well. I mean, last year was such a tricky season because you look at it and say, okay, there was progress. They won a bowl game, finished with 7 wins. But it was hairy there for a while because if Will Grier doesn't get hurt early in that West Virginia game, I mean, who knows? Somewhat of a freak injury. I know there's Texas defense forcing him out. So it's not just the wins and losses. Obviously, you need the wins, but it's how they look as well. Do you see progress? Like, we know during the Charlie era, there was no consistent escalation in their play, no improvement. It was up and down, up and down. and there wasn't that consistent improvement.
Well, let's be honest, too, about that bowl win. Like, it was nice for this team to finish over 500 for the first time in what felt like an eternity. But the MVP of that bowl game was the punter.
Who
was no longer a part of the football program as well. So while there were some positive things to be taken from both sides of the football, the reality is that they beat a Missouri team that also was very mediocre coming into that game.
You know, it was amazing how Michael Dixon was originally the scapegoat when he arrived. His first year, he was muffing punts, costing them games. People were ready to run that kid out of town. It ends up being, absolutely legendary. I feel bad for the poor kid, his cousin, or whoever is stepping into his shoes because there's no way. I mean, I would – Bill Parcells said never follow a legend. I would transfer. I would play somewhere else.
Never follow a legend, especially if that legend is a family member.
Right, exactly. So anyways, I lost my train of thought. What was your question?
No question, really. Just continuing the conversation.
I always find this setup fascinating because we gather in the middle of the summer just to hear guys talk. There's no practice.
Right.
There's no throwing the ball. It's just talking. And then we're off for another, month and a half, more talking. And then finally we get to the action. And what, they're 46 days away from Maryland, I think.
Alex, yep. I saw your tweet a couple of hours ago. You had the opportunity with the Longhorn Network to talk to Brecken Hager.
Oh.
And he mentioned something about the halftime speeches for Todd Orlando. I'm just curious how that conversation went and some of the highlights, in your opinion, from what Brecken had to say.
Everything is a highlight when he talks. I told him the media was so pleasantly surprised that he was invited here. I was stunned that they're going to put him in front of all these microphones. Great sound bite.
Yeah.
Kind of never know what he's going to say. But he said, I guess we were talking about all the players they lost on defense, and he was just saying how amazing Orlando is, and one of the best things coming off last year is his halftime speeches. They're legendary. He hopes to record them. We also did a little word association with Brecken at the end of that.
Okay.
He didn't trash the Aggies, but obviously he wasn't a he wasn't a fan.
Hey, he is a lifetime Orange blood. He is welcome to say what he wants to about Texas A&M.
Alex, what about this conference, and I think part of the reason why a lot of fans and analysts alike, I mean, you look at this Phil Steele magazine, he has Texas finishing number 10 in the country going into the 2018 season. Which
I'm sure he's a nice guy, but I think he's been wrong on Texas every year.
I think most people
that
have.
He's predicted
but
that.
You're right. You're right.
But I'm sure he's a wonderful human being.
You know, one of the thoughts behind that is this conference is so down this year. I mean, the lack of quarterbacks who are here, let alone, I mean, we know, two, maybe three quarterback jobs that are actually stable, that we actually know who's going to start for certain teams in this conference. Do you think the league being down this year bodes well for Texas to potentially have a bounce back season?
I think that's one of the biggest positives when you say, well, forget about Texas additions. It's the subtraction from their opponents that, to me, may be the biggest thing heading into the season. And even, at a conference, we were talking about no Sam Darnold.
Right.
Baker's obviously gone in that whole storyline that was set yesterday with Kyler Murray not being named. I just think Lincoln Riley knows what he's saying in public, and he's somewhat sending a message to Kyler Murray through the media that you have to earn it, you have to work hard, you're not just going to be handed it. I'm not going to go out there and anoint you the starter. Even if athletically, maybe you are the most gifted kid there. I mean, we all know Kyler has a propensity in the past to be pretty arrogant, bordering on extremely cocky.
Yeah.
So maybe he's trying to humble him a bit.
Maybe it's that, or maybe he's just playing the game that has become commonplace at Big 12 Media Days this year, and that is not naming the starting quarterback, even though it's obvious to pretty much everybody who the starting quarterback is. That seems to be going on with Baylor. You could say it's also something that's happening with Texas to a degree. It feels like everybody who you ask says, Sam Ellinger is probably going to be the guy game one for Maryland. So I think part of that for Lincoln Riley is just playing that that no-comment game in a sense, especially when you consider that Kyler Murray and his dad, Kevin, they know how to politic when it comes to getting their way and ending up where they are, whether it's baseball or football, whatever else is going on. You hear stories going back to A&M where he makes a secret visit to Texas just before signing day, and that freaks a lot of people out because they wanted to try and change some things that Kevin Sumlin was doing. So that will be something interesting to watch, but I will be shocked to see somebody other than Kyler Murray, if it is Austin Kendall, whoever else, starting for Oklahoma game one.
Or is there a chance that he's just coming in with the attitude of, this is my job, I'm effectively now in his career one and done, I'm going to walk in, take the role. Maybe he's having that attitude behind the scenes.
Yeah. Speaking of the quarterback position, back to Texas football, will you be a little bit surprised if it's not Sam Ellinger starting in Maryland game one?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you know, Shane's interesting. I personally really like Shane a lot, not only dealing with him behind the scenes, but his game. I think, you know, is he the best pure passer? Well, between those two, is he the better pure passer? Probably, yeah. But this system fits Ehlinger better. If Shane were in a different system, maybe he would be the more, you know, he'd be the better option. But I think in this system that Herman has in place right now and the style of quarterback that he likes, that better suits Ehlinger in his game.
Well, he was the better quarterback in Sean Watson's system, which is the system that he was originally.
Who?
Yeah, exactly.
I think I blacked out during that period.
That and Steve Patterson are two names that are hard to bring up, even in 2018.
I heard he's moving on from his latest venture.
Steve Patterson, shocking, didn't even last a year as the president and CEO, I believe, of the Arizona Coyotes.
Yeah, wish him all the best.
Yes,
yeah.
All the best to Steve Patterson.
I'm sure what you guys do.
Sarcasm
I'm not sure
is just
I
dripping
do.
Off the microphones here.
Alex, what do you think? The advertising here at Big 12 Media Days, the Big 12, the hardest route or the hardest road to the college football playoff.
Oh,
I don't like that. Is that something you want to brag about?
I have to be careful with what I say.
Okay.
Nowadays, I would love to be candid with you. No, I will say this. At least they added the championship game.
Yes.
Remember the years of one true champion, except we don't really have one true champion.
Unless
so now they do, though. Now
champion.
They do. That's
yeah,
good.
Right.
So they have that now. So I think that's – I was surprised people were bashing the addition of the championship game, saying, oh, well, it's going to leave Oklahoma or somebody else. And no, it was definitely helpful, I think.
BK, I'll comment on that one for you. What the hell are you doing bragging about that? That is not a brag point. That is something that you're whispering quietly in the corner to one another. Hey, it's going to be a little bit harder for us to get to the college football playoff now.
I don't know if we want
the lone round robin schedule. That's another.
Yeah, the only conference in America where you're guaranteed one versus two in the title game.
Where you have to play Kansas.
Oh, there you go. That's tough. That's tough. All right, Alex, before we let you go, man, we want to let you promote what you guys have going on at Longhorn Network. Of course, you mentioned it, 46 days away from the return of Texas football. You guys take care of Longhorn fans all year round. What can fans who tune into LHN get excited to see?
I appreciate it. We're on the air, actually, for about, I think, 17, 18 more minutes back in the studio in Austin. After that, yeah, we got you covered during game day. We'll have some surprise faces. Surprise talent on game day this year, former Longhorns. But again, the first game against Maryland, September 1st. I mean, to me, I would be utterly shocked and blown away if they didn't come out with their hair on fire, considering the way that game went last year. And even Orlando admitted that was the one game he'd like to have back to do-over, maybe put a little too much on their plate defensively. But for LHN, yeah, we'll have two-hour pre-games. We'll have the post-game with all the interviews, win or lose. We'll have you all covered football season throughout the rest of the sports year.
Now, have you had a chance to speak with Tom Herman here?
Yes.
Just yet? Okay, was there anything that he said to you that wasn't set up on stage that you care to share with
I
us?
Didn't get to hear everything he said there on stage. We did do a little word association with him as well and asked about the Aggies in Oklahoma, and he nicely passed. Next question. He asked about the media, and he said he was a fan of the media, which I was excited to hear about. Asked him about the Big 12 championship, and he said work in progress after a long
work in progress,
long thoughtful sigh there, thought about it and said work in progress. But, I mean, it was just I think at this point the guys from every team pretty much know what they're going to say coming into this. This is a prepared situation. It's not after a game where everybody's really emotional and impulsive. So there was really nothing out of the ordinary.
In your mind, is Big 12 championship game, not necessarily the championship itself, but the Big 12 championship game, is that a realistic goal for Texas football in 2018?
I think it has to be, again, considering who is light years ahead of them. I mean, obviously Oklahoma's picked to win, but who can you say right now, oh, they're far and away better than Texas or better than – I mean, look at Iowa State coming off a phenomenal year. They're picked seventh, which was somewhat surprising to me. Kansas State got two first-place votes. I mean,
That's a little odd.
It's not 2010.
No.
You know, it's not –
Colin Klein's not walking through.
No,
that,
exactly. So the Big 12 is wide open. Even Oklahoma, who everybody's favoring, I mean, they have a ton of question marks as well.
No doubt. No doubt.
Alex Loeb, LHN, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thanks for that email, man. Thanks for that email.
Absolutely.
That was a highlight last week.
Anytime. I was going to handwrite you a letter and mail it back.
Go Bill Snyder style.
Exactly. But you guys keep up the good work.
4 years. I love it.
Absolutely. You guys are doing great stuff.
You too.
Likewise, Alex.
Thanks a lot. All right. We will take a break. One more segment to go before we send you off to Rod Babers and the Rodcast. We are live. Big 12 Media Days up in Frisco. The Mullet on stage right now. Mike Gundy. wrapping things up on stage for Oklahoma State. We'll have some breakout sessions this afternoon. It is the second and final day, Big 12 Media Days. You're listening to the Midday Program right here on the Horn.
Final segment of the Midday Show. Football still intact, has not been swiped away just yet. That football has provided so many people so much entertainment over the last 4 hours. BK, once again, props to you for bringing
thank
that
you
out here to Big 12 Media Days live from the Star in Frisco. And thanks again to all of our sponsors here, Reliable Automotive, sponsoring the whole deal, every single show that's been out here at Big 12 Media Days. Reliable Automotive responsible for that, and also the Midday Show specific sponsors. That includes audio visual consultations, also Lone Oak Motors as well.
You know, there's a lot that can be said about me, and you say what you will, and I'll be known when my time comes. I'll be known for many different things.
You love a buffets.
Some good, some bad. Yeah, the fact that I'm not a communist and I enjoy buffets.
Okay, let's go ahead and straighten that term out for a second, because you're calling me a communist for not liking buffets. However, the buffet is the communist style way of eating.
This is Red Scare Part 2. I'm scared of you, man. I don't want to be around you right now. Not liking buffets. It's the greatest invention America has ever come up with. The buffet. Unlimited food. As my extremely frugal Jewish grandfather would say, you don't have to tip any waiter, which makes it even better. It's a perfect combination. It's a perfect combination of things. That's as American as it gets.
Not tipping is also communist.
That is also very American, unfortunately.
That is true, too.
It shouldn't be. But I'm a man of my word. That's what I want. You can say plenty of things.
You
but yesterday I did say I was going to bring a football today. I was going to find a way to get it done. You know, there's a ton of media here. We're all standing around. I mean, after we get off the air, or I think it's right now, we're in the midst of like an hour and a half recess, if you will, where there's really, you can go eat at the buffet. That'll take 20 minutes, and then there's just nothing to do. So trying to find some entertainment, man. It's a good conversation starter, trying to meet some people from around Big 12 country. I got to play football with the mascots a little bit. Of course, the cheerleaders are gone right now, so that bit isn't going to work according to plan. But you got to come through with the football, man. We're on a football field right now. It had to be done.
Now, you had wondered whether one of your buddies actually had a football or if you were going to have to buy one yourself. Which option did you end up going
with?
This
is a buddy's football. I'm not sure he's aware. I actually took his keys while he was asleep, and I got the football from his car, and I have it.
So Perfect. If
you're listening, Luke, I'm sorry.
Are you stopping by his place on your way out of town?
No.
You're just going to keep the football with you?
I'll be back here in a couple of weeks.
It's a great football, too, because it's a slightly smaller size football. It's not the NFL or college size football.
Is it? I couldn't even tell, man.
Either it is or my hands have grown exponentially since the last time I threw a football.
No doubt. All right, some final thoughts for you today, Trey. You know, it's Big 12 Media Days, right? There's no games being played. There's no practices being had. But things that stuck out from what Herman had to say to us or to the media in general, what the players had to say, some things that you liked, some things that you didn't like. What are your final impressions from Big 12 Media Days being up here?
The whole finish message is a big deal for me for Tom Herman and this Texas football team, because that is something they struggled with at times last year. Not surprised that he's non-committal, about whether or not he's going to be taking over more play-calling duties, although I do like to hear him say that he's always been involved and that he will continue to be involved.
Yep.
That makes me think that the level of involvement will be something similar to what we saw in the Texas Bowl, and maybe even the last couple of games during the season versus the first half of the season, where it seemed to be primarily on Tim Beck's plate as well. And just this event has been so cool. Get to talk to Chris Del Conte, to get to talk to Brady Quinn. By the way, talk about a good-looking dude. That
Brady Quinn
is a handsome man. Also, Tom Herman, of course, stopped by the table for a few minutes. Alex Loeb as well. Patrick Vahe. Also, Chris Nelson.
Yeah.
Really cool getting to speak with people like that face-to-face to ask them questions that you feel like people might be curious to know the answers to.
That was the first time we've had Coach Tom Herman and Chris Del Conte,
both,
as a matter of fact,
Tom
on this
Chris,
show.
Yeah.
And they came on the same day, so it was a lot of fun. If you missed those interviews, please go check them out in our podcast.
And thanks to Super Bowl Stu for setting those up, too.
The man, the myth, the legend, Super Bowl Stu, always
getting it done.
Be sure to check out the Sports Guys Talking Wrestling podcast every Wednesday night on the Horn.
Yeah, it's a radio show, not just podcast.
Yeah, podcast. Right, you're right. I'm so used to calling
it a
podcast. It's a show. It's a podcast turned show. That's every goal
following
of a podcast.
Following Fight Night ATX.
Right? Absolutely. Wednesday night, so tomorrow, a fresh new episode there of SGTW. And, I'm with you, Trey. I really liked what Tom Herman said. He didn't give a flat-out no to that question about play calling.
That was the most encouraging thing to me about that.
And whoever asked it also used the term that we've used, asked about a leash What is the leash on Tim Beck, on Herb Hand?
Yeah.
If the offense isn't working, right, if it's still not productive like it was a year ago, at what point do you say, oh, the hell with this, I'm going down with this ship, I'm taking over the play-calling duties? And Tom Herman didn't just say no or that's not happening. He actually gave a candid, well-thought-out answer and said he's thankful that he doesn't have to make that decision in July. But for the fans who've been wanting Tom Herman to take over, the fact that coach didn't say no flat out to that, I think, is a pretty good sign.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, hopefully Herman doesn't have to. Right. Hopefully, maybe, I don't know what the start is, but whatever the plan is to start the season, whether it's Beck, whether it's Herb Hand, whether it's Maringer, whether it's a combination, hopefully the starting plan is good enough all year long to where Tom Herman doesn't have to take over. But it's good to hear that, okay, if something goes wrong, if ish hits the fan, if you will, then he is willing to take over the play-calling duties.
It feels like you either have a pulse on how things go during a football game and understanding adjustments like that, or you don't. And I feel like Tim Beck is the latter. So I feel like if he is taking more responsibility for the play calling, we'll see that pretty quickly during the season. That's going on because we'll also see the offense struggling, and we will see a change flat out made.
I think most Texas fans would say their grade for Tim Beck in year one is like a D or an F.
Yeah.
Or an E, if that's a thing.
I.
An I, incomplete. Whatever.
Yeah, used to be good back in school for me.
It's incomplete for me.
Okay.
It's incomplete for me. Didn't have a whole lot to work with. That's not an excuse this year. All right, we're out of time. Rod Babers and the Rodcast coming up next. Thanks to all of our guests, all of you for texting and listening throughout the program. For Stu, for, of course, the fantasy sports guru, the Marine Adam Wagner across the glass back in Austin, holding it down. For the Sultan of Cynicism, the Vomit King, Trey Elling, I am BK. We'll be back to get a pop at the same time tomorrow. Until then, let bygones be bygones. You can go and get the hell on. You and your mama. We out of here.